You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. We now present the program Beyond the Pages with our host, Christina Doyle.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first official Beyond the Pages. We are so excited that you have joined us this afternoon. My goodness, it is sweltering out here, and I just hope that you are sitting somewhere nice and cool and comfortable, because you, my friends, are in for a treat today. Yes, a beautiful, beautiful broadcast that we are so excited that this will be a two-part broadcast. And we are so happy to welcome Tamara Klepecz. And let me tell you, what an angel in disguise. She's a beautiful woman that I've had the opportunity to meet. Such a lovely person with a wonderful mission, with a wonderful journey that she's on. And I know that when you listen to this broadcast, you are going to be so happy that you joined us, and you will be inspired. And I know through our wonderful engineer, Alex Diaz, our production manager, he is making sure that there will be a rebroadcast, and we hope of many rebroadcasts for you to hear this wonderful, wonderful story that we're about to share with you. As you know, friends, this program is called the very first, called Beyond the Pages, a program where we're going to be sharing beautiful books through our faith and speaking with genuine authors who are going to share, you know, where they're coming from, you know, what inspired them to write the book. And today I want to show you this beautiful book that I've come across, and it's called Servant of God, Padre Domenico De Cesi, OFM Capuchin, an illustrated biography. And I must tell you that this whole journey that Tamara is going to share with us today is absolutely, it's so inspiring. And I'm so excited to share with you today Padre Domenico. And who was Padre Domenico? Why are we going to talk about this biography? Well, we have Tamara Klepecz today. So she is going to share with us her journey and how she, her role in all of this is important for us to learn and to discover. So we welcome Tamara. Tamara. Welcome, my dear friend. It is so wonderful that you are here with us. Welcome to Radio Maria Canada.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Christina and Alex. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's simply incredible. I'm speechless, to be honest.
Well, we feel speechless. I tell you, Tamara, I read the book. This beautiful book, I read it, and I don't remember crying for such a long period of time. It was not that it was sad. It was so inspiring. It brought such joy. There were tears of joy. And I thought, you know what? I shouldn't be the only one hearing about Padre Domenico. And you, well, I don't want to spill the beans. I want you to tell our listeners, who are you, Tamara? And why are you so in this beautiful picture? And obviously we can see in the screen of Padre Domenico.
Yes. Yes. My personal journey began in 2006. My son, he was only 6 years of age at the time. His name is Joseph. He would see the different pictures I had of the different basilicas and the shrines in Italy. There's so many relics of our Lord that nobody knows about. When someone goes to, say, example, Rome, they're more concerned about shopping and things like that. There's a Eucharistic miracle. There's relics from the Passion. There's different things. So my son Joseph saw these photos, and I tried to bring the Bible to life for him. So when he was already at that age, he wanted to go to Italy, and a trip presented itself as a pilgrimage. So I took him. And we, of course, went to Padre Pio. We're blessed with, that was one of the places that was very special for my son. But we went to, at the time, the sanctuary of the Volto Santo in Montepello, Italy. There, I picked up a prayer card of the for the Volto Santo, and I never really looked too much at the fine print on the back. Basically, every time I went or I carried it, I always said the prayers. Fast forward, in the summer of 2018, I saw a program, The Long Road from Chasey to Turin. And I had it on, and I was basically listening about this Padre Domenico, his life story. Never heard of him before. And I continued about my housework. Then I heard mention the Vale of Montepello. So now I started to listen, having been there a few times already. Then they brought up Padre Pio. So I actually sat down and said, okay, I have to watch this. Padre Domenico is the first person caught on film during a bilocation, and it was to Padre Pio's funeral procession on September 26, 1968. Rai Television had caught that, and all of a sudden, people started recognizing him. Even though at the time, Padre Domenico was in Montepello taking care of some pilgrims. So now I had to find out, was this true? And another pilgrimage was coming up October of 2018. And of course, part of the trip was for San Giovanni Rotondo and for Montepello. And I was asked to join this group by a priest. So I agreed. And I gave him my prayer card to make copies for the other pilgrims to say in honor of the Volto Santo. Well, once we got there, he forgot the copies. So I said, okay, as soon as I say my prayers, I'll loan you it, I'll loan you mine. And then I had to go and find out, was this true? Did Padre Domenico bilocate? Because this involved Padre Pio, who of course I'm a devotee. So meanwhile, the priest is saying the prayer. Sister Petra Maria Steiner, who wrote this book, this biography, the illustrated biography of Padre Domenico, she caught a glimpse of the prayer card and right away asked, where did you get it? And he said, well, a woman on our pilgrimage. Meanwhile, I'm in the gift shop saying, okay, you know, what's going on here? And they showed me either a German book or the Italian version that sister had written. And I thought the Italian book, at least I could work with better because I did have basic knowledge of Spanish and so forth and some Italian. So I purchased that. I found her and just asked her, you know, was this true? That's all I needed to know because I had to run back to the bus. And she said, yes. Okay, thank you. Ran on the bus. Now, a few minutes later, I'm getting called off the bus and it's Sister Petra Maria. And she wanted that prayer card because they didn't realize that there was an English prayer card and on the back had Padre Domenico's name. So right away, could I have this? And I said, sure. And she gave me her card and said, please contact me when you return to the States. So about not quite a month later, I sent her an email and I just said, I'm the American who you asked to contact and hello. Well, shortly after she sent me the preface of the book and asked me to check for the English. And, that was a difficult year. I just gone through, sadly, a divorce. So I thought, why not just translate the whole book? I'm not fluent in Italian by any means. I had a dictionary. I had my phone.
So you weren't a writer per se.
No, I'm still not. No.
So here you're placed with this responsibility of translating a book. This beautiful book, into English with absolute no experience and whatever in the whole area of writing and publishing. And lo and behold, a magnificent book.
Lo and behold, every night after I left work, I do work as an activities associate with the elderly and sometimes with the dementia unit. I would come home and just sit with the dictionary, with the phone, and write in notebooks each line. And once everything was translated little by little, I was sending it via the phone to sister. Then that February of 2019, she asked me, she said, how can we get this printed in English? I said, well, okay, I'll look into that. So the fraternity offered to help with that. So we partnered, and with Sister Petra Maria's blessing, she did give me her power of attorney in the United States to represent her and to make these different decisions. So my book is actually soft covered, whereas hers was hard. And I made it actually smaller, so it would be easier to handle for various reasons. So that was the next step. And had it printed and published the end of April of 2019. The books were ready.
How long did that take you, Tamara, from the beginning to the point where the book is completely translated? How long?
I had a goal. The end of November, around Thanksgiving-ish, through December, my goal was Epiphany to have the book translated. So that was my end date. It was just something I put on myself.
Right.
And then after that, in February already, is when Sister asked me, how do we get this done? And it just moved very, very quickly. I mean, there are little hiccups, you know, we found like through the course, but it's my first hand in all of this. So at the end of April of 2019, the book was ready. And then we had to start working more. So I went to Italy to give Sister a copy, a preliminary copy to show her, and she approved. And then I had the prayer leaflets from her little novena booklet printed. That was September of 2019. So in October of that year, I went back to Montepello to give Padre Carmine Cuccinelli, the director for the Basilica, the Volto Santo, the prayer leaflets, and for his permission and blessing to do this work, to talk about Padre Domenico and to talk about the Volto Santo, because many people aren't aware of either.
Right.
So he gave me his blessing and approval.
So before we continue, first of all, our listeners may be thinking you're just down the street in Toronto, but where are you? Where are we? Where are you situated? Where are you located?
Actually, I am in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, in the United States.
Okay, there you go. And I don't hear it. Well, maybe I shouldn't be so stereotypical. I don't hear like an American accent. Sounds awfully Canadian to me. So that's wonderful. Now, before we go on, because this is so important, but for our listeners who have never heard of Padre Domenico, who was Padre Domenico? Why is he so important? So let's talk about who was Padre Domenico. Let's go back into his way back when he was a child. I think that's really important for us to understand who he was to get to the point where you are today.
Yes, Padre Domenico was actually born Emidio Petrarca on March 27th, 1905, to Giovanni Petrarca and Caterina Tuccieri. He had two younger sisters, Elsa and Loretta. The sad thing is, before the sisters were born, at the age of four, Padre Domenico was Emilio at the time. He was the only child of the Petrarca family. At the age of four, he had infantile paralysis, and he couldn't move his legs or his feet. And having a farm, because his father had farmlands, and the family today still have those acres, as we would say in the United States. His mother took him at the age of 4 to the church, which is approximately, say, a block and a half away from the family home, and placed him on the altar of the Blessed Mother and basically gave him back to the Blessed Mother because they felt he couldn't do anything. They didn't know where else to turn.
Right.
And then immediately he began moving his legs and his feet. So he was healed through the intercession of the Blessed Mother. Then when he was 9, almost 10, in January of 1915, he predicted an earthquake that was going to take place in the Avanzano region. Nobody took him serious.
Right. It sounds familiar, doesn't it, Tamara? It sounds familiar from Fatima, right? When the young children, when they said that they had seen the Blessed Mother, same thing. Can you imagine? So they must have looked at poor Padre Domenico. At that point, he was Emilio, right? Emilio?
Yes, Emilio.
Emilio, right.
And nobody paid any attention. Well, the very next day, he and his father were at the first mass at the church, and an earthquake struck on January 13th, 1915, 7.0 on the Richter scale. 30,000 people were killed. 15 villages and towns were totally razed. And he and his father were buried under the church rubble at the time. Now, Chase, even today, is still a very small town, so everyone pretty much knows each other. In the family home, unfortunately, his two little sisters, Elsa and Loretta, at the age of 3 and 1, were both killed due to the earthquake. His mother was spared by a beam that lodged in the family home, so she was saved. And then, so after that, he and his father, they're in the church when suddenly a stranger rescued and pulled him out from the rubble, as well as his father. So years later, at the age of 12, the Capuchins had a mission from Avezzano to Chasey, and now little Emilio wanted to become a Capuchin, but his father flat up refused, flat up struck him, forbade him to ever say anything about it again. But then our Lord told him to ask again, and if he did, he would be granted other children to replace him to work in the fields. Mm-hmm. And he did. So after that, Elsa, Mario, and Angelo were born. So at the age of 16, now his father, Giovanni, took him to the convent in Avezzano, the St. Francis.
I'm sorry, Tamara. For everyone that's listening, we're listening to some very heavy duty information. Like, it's just amazing. And I want us to take a quick little break and come back, everyone, with just a short little musical interlude. But we are so excited. I'm sure you are sitting at the edge of your seat wondering what else Tamara will be sharing with us. But it is a beautiful story, everyone. So tell your friends, join in, come and listen to this amazing story of Padre Domenico de Chasey. So thank you, everyone. Le will be back in a short bit. So see you soon.
Make me a servant, humble.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program Beyond the Pages. Here once again is our host, Christina Doyle.
Well, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here on the first official broadcast of Beyond the Pages. And today, as we have the beautiful book called Servant of God, Padre Domenico da Casey, OFM Capuchin, an illustrated biography. And if you don't know anything about Padre Domenico, well, guess what? We have with us today Tamara Klapec, all the way from Pennsylvania, joining us, who has played a very important role and continues on her wonderful journey of bringing us, becoming more aware of who Padre Domenico is and why should we even think about Padre? Why should we pray to him? Who was Padre Domenico? Well, if you haven't had a chance to know anything about him, well, today's a wonderful broadcast that we're so certain that you will truly feel inspired. So coming back, we were just talking with Tamara regarding the fact that now Padre Domenico, at that point, his name is Emidio, am I right? Emidio, yes. I want to get it right, Emidio, and how he wanted to join the seminary. And we will let you take it from there, Tamara.
Yes, once the Lord answered the prayers to have other siblings to take his place on the farm, that is only when the Father Giovanni permitted him to enter into the seminary. And his father did take him. He took the name Fra Domenico, which just means brother, Domenico, while he was at the novitiate, as is the custom of the Capuchins. I found out through his great nephew, Lorenzo, that not only was Domenico a friend of St. Francis of Assisi, that was also a great-grandfather's name. So he took that name. He entered in Panay, he did the novitiate. Then while he was sent to L'Aquila, because of World War II, he had to perform military service and had to go to Florence to study to be a paramedic, which he did. Prior to his service in 1940, he went to Padre Pio, and immediately Padre Pio said, "I finally get to see a military chaplain in a cassock." And they spent a few days.
So
together.
Then, Tamara, they didn't know each other prior to that. Had they heard of each other?
They had to have heard of each other because Chasey and San Giovanni Rotondo is approximately, I'd say, 3.5 hours apart. And being that it's Capuchins, they had to, because Padre Pio already had such a reputation. So he did want to see him, and he spent time with him. And he was sent to various locations in Slovenia, Croatia, Dubrovnik. Right. And he suffered. He suffered. His feet had frozen during the war. He had very high temperatures.
Yes.
105, 109, same as Padre Pio. The big thing, though, too, he was always humble. And he was always very, how should we say, God meant everything to him. And the Blessed Mother, they always came first. Sometimes, unfortunately, the envy of his confreres, because of his radicalism, they termed it as. He just wanted to live a very holy, holy life. He did suffer from migraines. He didn't have sleep. He had swollen legs. He had written all this to his provincial in 1941. So in that time, after his service, he was discharged. He went back to various convents. They would travel around. But the thing that stands out to me was how much his life and the people embraced him. Maybe not so much the confreres, because the same as Padre Pio, there was a period of time that he was not allowed to do confessions.
Yes.
It was because of, it was September of 1966 to 1967, because they felt his penances weren't edifying enough, his radicalism. He could not take the smallest lies or anything. He truly lived the gospel.
Yeah.
And he had a very close relationship to our Lord.
That must have made him so distraught. Not being able to preach.
But even at, well, that was the confessions. And even at that time, though, people gravitated to him. They said that they felt they had a saint among them. Meanwhile, you know, once he ended up going to Montepello, and this, I think, begins the important level. When he came face to face with the Volto Santo, known as the Holy Face Relic of Jesus, it was the veil that was placed on Jesus when he was laid in the tomb. It was only then, when he came face to face, that he realized that that, in fact, was the stranger who pulled him and his father from the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
So already there, mm-hmm. there, it's so amazing. He devoted every second to finding out what was this veil and to learn more about it.
Right.
He, in this course too, as well, while he was in the other convents, etc., he asked to be excused from having dinner. He didn't eat dinner.
I know.
He didn't eat meat. He prayed nonstop. He couldn't sleep. He did the confessions.
Was he like a vegetarian or?
He felt, at one point I read that he just felt that eating meat, he could taste the animal's death. Like he could just, so he just stopped eating any meat.
My goodness.
Yes. And then, of course, his health. He had an ulcer. He had psoriasis. He had eczema on his head. His feet had open wounds. Some people are attributing that to a possible stigmata. There are photos later on. Sometimes he had images with the stigmata in his hands, and sometimes they were healed, like various saints. Sometimes they were visible and sometimes they weren't. But besides that, the stigmata, the bilocation, the miracles, he was interceding.
Oh, wait a minute. Listeners, did you all hear that? That word bilocation, do you want to explain that one to us? You're just throwing those words at us, but excuse me. What do you mean by bilocation?
I'm sorry. bilocation is to actually physically be in two locations at the exact same time. Padre Pio was famous for this. see how many times he would be perhaps in the confessional or serving mass. Actually, Padre Pio's very last mass on September 22nd, the videos, when you see him stumble, he had bilocated to the shrine of the Volto Santo. Padre Domenico went into the choir loft. Any of the listeners who have ever been to the Basilica of the Volto Santo, when you walk down the center nave, behind the altar is where the little choir loft for the priest to pray. And that is where, when Padre Domenico woke up, well, I shouldn't say woke up, but he was up already by 4 a.m. saying prayers. But at 6 o'clock, when he went to unlock the church and went to his spot, lo and behold, there's Padre Domenico. And actually, I would like to read from his text so I don't miss any of the wording, because this is quoting what Padre Domenico himself said. So September, 22nd, 1968, Padre Domenico himself recounted what happened. Early in the morning, after opening the church before 6 a.m., I was going to my place in the choir to pray. The Padre Pio was sitting in my place. Amazed, I asked him, "Padre Pio, what are you doing here?" And he replied, "I do not have faith in myself any longer. Pray for me." And they prayed together. Then Padre Pio said, "We will meet again in paradise." And Padre Domenico said, "May Jesus Christ be praised." And then Padre Pio disappeared. And that was just one bilocation that was mentioned. But I did receive a book, I'll have to show, it's only in Italian at this time, from Lorenzo Petrarca. It's entitled The Testimonies. And it's Padre Domenico Ducesi, Frate Minore Cappuccino della Provincia di Abruzzo. In it, it states how a young man, for example, was at the shrine of the Volto Santo, was going to confession to Padre Domenico. Padre Domenico, of course, had the gift of reading souls, the same as Padre Pio, and told this man his sins. And in the course of the conversation, he said he was a spiritual son of Padre Pio. So, of course, Padre Domenico now says he's here. And this man thought, oh, he's just visiting, he's staying. And Padre Domenico said, no, he's here. He's in the confessional. So you had two Capuchin priests who not only could read the souls, bilocated back and forth. I'm learning just how much Padre Domenico, even while he was alive, bilocated through the testimonies of Fra Vincenzo di Elpidio. He had just recently passed now in December of 2020. He was a very close friend. So what I am learning is Padre Domenico bilocated more than we knew. Padre Pio obviously bilocated almost all the time. But they did share the gift of reading souls. They were able to tell people their sins. An example, that man who was confessing to Padre Domenico and Padre Pio showed up, he mentioned he wanted to continue to see a woman. And Padre Domenico said, "You'll never see her again." So he wrote in his testimony, for spite, he went in search of this woman, which, of course, he never saw again. Right. So there was a lot of the similarities, the high fevers, the sufferings for souls. Right. He offered everything for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so there are, and miracles that were attributed.
Do you think, Tamara, having this gift of reading of souls, as you say, being able to tell someone's your sin. I mean, we can think of all of us as listeners, as we're listening to this, you know, you go to confession and there might be a confession you don't want Father to know about. And here you have Padre Pio and Padre Domenico being able to call you up on it. I would imagine that there must have been some hesitation from some of the from the village people in terms of, you know, I don't know if I really want to go to Padre Domenico if he's going to call me up. You know, I would imagine there must have been quite a revelation in terms of, wow, you know, who is this Padre that can, that, how does he know my deepest and darkest sins? I mean, it must have been very refreshing to some, but to some, I would imagine they probably hesitated.
I'm sure they did as well with Padre Pio, but the whole point of going to confession is to be able to say, I messed up, this is what I've done, and go from there. And it takes courage, but for them to actually, it's almost like going to a doctor and he's healing you.
Yes.
And so it's more important to be healed spiritually sometimes than physically.
Yes. So, and he had quite a following, didn't he? I mean, he had.
Oh, yes. People would travel, whether by horse and carriage, you know, whatever way they can. Sulmona, where he was ordained in 1931, to Montepello's. Not that far per se, like for us to travel now.
Right.
And Chafee is approximately 2 hours apart to Montepello. But I'm sure back in the day when maybe you only had your horse or your donkey or whatever, people made the trip.
Made their trip, yeah. My goodness. Such what a time to have been one of the villagers and being able to have Padre Domenico in your village and being able to go to him so easily that, you know, so accessible that you could go to him with everything and know that when I give myself over to, you know, to our Lord, and I know that through prayer and through confession that Padre is going to take that to heaven. He's taking that to our Maker, and we could trust him. Like, I can just imagine what a wonderful time that must have been. Like, you know, we can only, all is not lost. We're not, you know, it's not like we can't pray to him, right? But what a wonderful time it must have been.
Yes, his simplicity, but love of the Lord, the Blessed Mother. And when the important thing too, though, is once he saw the Volto Santo, that was his calling, because in that image, he saw the living face of Jesus. And of course, in 1978, the Shroud of Turin was being exposed. That was the face of Jesus in death. So that's why he felt a need to go to Turin.
Right.
And unfortunately, yes, after his visit that evening, crossing the road, and he was approximately a yard from the curb, he was struck by a speeding Fiat by Giovanni Cardelli, and he hit his head. And while he was in the hospital for several days, he forgave Giovanni. Giovanni went constantly, and he told him, don't worry about it, he's older. You have a life to live, get married, you know. Yeah. He offered everything for the church. So his whole life, everything he did, he offered for the church and to save souls. His big thing, too, was he would take on the crosses of other people, their sins, their punishment, things like that. Sometimes he told people, you know, the crosses you carry may have either been due to your behavior or maybe the Lord wanted you to have them. He would offer himself, basically, as a very first soul.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, and I'm bad for that. I just want to say, because of time's sake, I encourage you all to join us next time here on Beyond the Pages as we will continue this beautiful journey, this broadcast with our beautiful guest, Tamara Klapich. And we just thank you all for joining us today. We look forward to being with us next time here on Beyond the Pages on Radio Maria Canada. God bless you all, and call your friends. Hey, this is such a beautiful story and such a beautiful, important journey that we are all on, and we can all partake with Tamara in this exciting journey of our servant of God, Padre Domenico De Casey. God bless you, Tamara. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you all next time here on Beyond the Pages.
You have been listening to the program Beyond the Pages with our host, Christina Doyle, here on Radio Maria Canada.